a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Austin Tower, Ohio.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast.
Your complete source of news and information for your Austin Tower crew.
It's a little after 7 o'clock, everybody. It's Monday night. We're already one bum-tossing into the evening. Welcome to Hendox Pub. This is the Massive Report, brought to you by Land-Grant Brewing. My name is Matt Goshard. I am joined this week, as always, by Alex Stanek, Justin Bell, Greg Benson, Morgan Hughes, and Sam Fahmy. Lots of stuff to get to today, guys, so we're just going to dive right into it. The Columbus Crew managed to not win on the road. Weird, huh? 2-2 draw at Real Salt Lake. I want to first of all get everybody's thoughts on that one. Alex, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on this weekend's match.
Well, as a card-carrying member of the Sunshine Brigade, I think it's my my duty to tell everybody that I'm happy with a point from RSL. They're a good team. I thought we played well. I think Higuain had a really good game. I was really happy to see him getting more involved in the run of play. And he seems to have more space. I don't know what they've changed exactly, but the team seems to be playing better. And although they didn't win, I definitely saw improvement, and I think it's something that we can build on.
All right, Justin.
I think we tied against a team that's as good as we are. I think that's about it. I don't really think that RSL is a great team. I don't think we're a great team. I think we're an okay team. I think they're an okay team. There you have it. I mean, we eked out a draw against a team that got sent down to 10 men. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think this is what we are.
Are we just going to fight for scraps in the middle of the table for the end for the rest of the season? I mean, is that your
pretty
your
much
read
we're
going to
be fifth or sixth in the East, mm-hmm, at best?
And that's going to be
good
enough
unless we do something really drastic, pick up a good player, and these guys start getting lucky. We haven't played a complete game. Even the game against Seattle wasn't a complete game. Mm-hmm. I think the RSL set piece showed that we are really lacking.
We looked like the Keystone Cops on that set piece.
They knew exactly what the crew were, mm-hmm, and there was basically one player on the crew team that knew what was going on, or that had a suspicion that things were going on, and that was Federico Higuain, and he was not in a position to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it was, if it sounds like I'm disappointed, I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we're now well into a season where I think we should be playing better than what we are.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, it's, barring any sort of amazing unforeseen pickup in the transfer window, how does this team get better? Do they get better?
I think they can get better without a big pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, if you say Mabwat Cedric, I swear to God.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
This guy better be the freaking second coming of Jesus himself. Because
he is gifted
from
the art of telepathy.
The amount of just sunshine that I'm getting from my right side.
Hey. Telekinesis, not telepathy.
I need a pair of sunglasses that only has like right.
I stood
right
up for
lens.
Pogatetz before the season started, and that has proved to be accurate.
I am
putting all of my chips on Cedric. Ooh. Please don't disappoint me, Cedric.
Go
please.
On the
I'm
going to
say
Alex.
Pogatetz wasn't so. He hasn't been. Yes, he's been okay. He's been okay.
He's been
very.
He
hasn't been great.
I think he's been great.
No, he's been okay, and but so has the rest of the team. I think you see a player like Ethan Finley scores a goal, does a really great job, scores a goal. This needs to happen more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. So far, we're not seeing like a real consistency. Like I said, we haven't played a complete game.
Mm-hmm.
And We should be playing complete games by now.
I agree with you, and it's disheartening that we're having this conversation with 2 days left in the month of June.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I'm thinking of is that we play at a very important U.S. Open Cup game in tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
And, wow, if you think we're ready for this,
yeah,
I want to drink what you're drinking. Because I do not see how this depth that we've been talking about all year is going to carry us from a game on Wednesday to a game on Saturday to a game on Tuesday.
I'll have a diet Red Bull for Justin.
It's sugar-free Red Bull, Justin.
Sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah. They're out of the regular.
Does it have aspartame in it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't read the ingredients. I just drink it.
I'm going to involve the rest of the table, then we'll come back to you guys here. Greg, 2-2 draw. Do you think, A, the Crew has played a complete game this season? And, B, do you think, kind of the same questions I asked before, your thoughts on the game, and then are we just destined, unless something completely changes, to just be mired at the middle of the table?
Well, to answer your first question, yes, I think we have played a couple of complete games this season. The Rail Salt Lake game wasn't one of them.
Okay. Your sources. This isn't Wikipedia.
Everything that I say is going to have the bracket citation needed above it, but, you know, we are an opinion after all.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. Look, this is a place that Columbus has only played at twice now in 5 years, and the last time they went was 2 years ago, and they got their butts handed to them, basically 4-0. I don't know what you can read into that. I mean, Columbus has not traveled particularly well. Obviously, we were still looking for a first win on the road, but the games in the western half of the U.S. in particular, the Western Conference road games, to me are almost throwaways. It's like if you can come away from these things with a point, particularly from a point where they had to come back twice. They went down 1-0. They went down 2-1. I don't really see the panic here. If this was Chicago, if this was, dare I say it, Orlando, if this was, heaven forbid, New York City, and the Crew play like that and come away with only a point, I'm probably seeing that in a worse light than this.
To me, it's and we've had this conversation on the show before about the West Coast games and the altitude and the other. They're not traveling to these games on dog sled, you know.
No.
There is an airport in Salt Lake, and there is a highway that takes you directly from the airport to your hotel, and another one that takes you directly from your hotel to the stadium.
Sure.
I mean, it's not, you know, they're not roughing it out there.
No, I know that, but at the same time, you've always got this in the back of your mind how far you are from home.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have both done a lot of traveling before, and it's there regardless. Regardless of what you do for a living, how far you are, whether you're a professional athlete or not, there's that mindset that says, I'm not where I should be, where I'm used to being, where I'm comfortable being. And it gets into your head. It really does.
I just don't think that, and I'm not going to try to put words in your mouth, so I'm going to paraphrase what I thought you said there, mm-hmm. and then let you, but I don't think just because it's so far away that it should be treated as a throwaway game.
I don't think so. I would, of course, I'd love to see them, you know, win these games. Mm-hmm. Again, that you've got to factor in that this was, you know, they had 3-4 days turnaround,
yeah.
from a Wednesday game, in which most of your squad that played on Wednesday played on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And then they're flying straight to Orlando. I mean, that's a factor. Yeah.
It's 3 games in 8 days, basically.
It's a factor, but I don't think it should be an excuse, because then you look at it again, and then, you know, they're going straight from Orlando back here, and they're playing New York. You know, they're going to have 4 games in a little bit more than 2 weeks.
Such is the life of a sport where you're playing multiple competitions.
Yeah.
You know, and playing this ludicrously protracted schedule where you get weekends off and then have to back up and play 3 games or 2 games in 72 hours.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Morgan, your thoughts on Saturday's match?
Hi, Matt. Super glad to be here, first of all. Second of all, excited to talk some Zogs kicky ball. With your dumb ass. Third of all, what are we doing?
Oh, Salt
Crew.
Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, Crew. Salt Lake.
Crew and the Kings team.
The Kings, yes.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I walk away from every road game going, I don't think I learned anything about us. And, you know, we're, again, halfway through an MLS season with the 0-goal differential where we should be playing better. going up against a team on the road, which we haven't had a road victory yet, so there's motivating factor number one. Number two is they're missing, what, two starters due to red cards?
Yeah.
Number three is the teams above us had done us a lot of favors in their games this week. And number four is that we gave up two completely ridiculous goals. Completely, like Justin said, like Higuain was the only person who knew what was happening. And I mean, maybe because it was a little bit of like Argentine playground soccer, but, you know, brilliance is easy to recognize if you are brilliant. The miscommunication between Pogacar and Clark was absurd. And then we played a man up for the final, you know, what, 17 minutes? It just, I'm not drinking Kool-Aid, man. I'm drinking poison. This is, like, yeah. I'm worried. This is a game that all signs point to a good team wins. A good team wins that game. And, yeah, we came back from a one-goal deficit twice, but we needed to come back from a one-goal deficit twice because we shot ourselves in the foot 18 different ways.
We have the Leeds leading scorer in a zero-goal differential.
And the leading assist. Yeah. Leading assists, leading goals.
I mean,
you know what that tells you? Your defense stinks.
Yeah.
Yep. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's true.
Like,
yeah.
I've never... One of the reasons why I say that we haven't played a complete game is I think the communication between our back four and our goalkeeper is abysmal. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel Pogatetz and Steve Clark demonstrated that in front of the entire world in this game, where Pogatetz is basically looking at Clark. And I think people assume that maybe he was calling him out to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's exactly what he was doing. I think what he was doing was like looking at him like, is it you, is it me, is it you, is it me? It's like one of those things that happens when you have like a 50-50 ball and you've got, you know, your teammate right there. And it's like, it's me. Oh, wait, it's me, you, right? And both of you say
that. Wasn't that a scene in Major League?
Yeah, in baseball. It happens in baseball all the time.
That's what I was just going to say. The shortstop always takes control, right?
Right.
And in soccer, exactly. I mean, who's by the law in control there?
The goalkeeper is supposed to
be
the
goalkeeper.
The
keeper that's coming running at the ball, right?
Because he sees the ball. He sees the play in front of him. Anyone who sees the play in front of him is supposed to make that call. Now,
even if it's you take it or I'm going to take it.
Yeah. And Emmanuel Pogatetz is supposed to be good enough to be able to figure that, to shield off that attacker and allow his goalkeeper to get the ball. If his goalkeeper is saying, let me get that ball, that's mine. Now, if not, then the goalkeeper has to be yelling at Pogatetz, like, clear the ball, clear it, you know, something, do something with
get
it.
The hell
whatever
out of there,
whatever it is that they do on this team. They don't do that on this team, and I don't know why that is. Greg Berhalter he distinguished himself as a center back, a U.S. men's national team, international level center back.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not saying that this is coaching, because I would assume that a coach of that caliber and that experience level has trained that. Unless he's just assuming, because he's so good, you know, he was so good, that these guys should know this.
Yeah.
Michael Parker's just smart enough to know this. Yeah. And like, but that you see week after week, these mistakes.
Yeah, they're trends. You see, like, trend-setting things. You know, they score quickly on us. Home, New England does.
Yeah, and New England. That's the other thing. We didn't even talk about the New England match. It's been so. It's been.
You know,
it was a weird week last week. So
it just seems like every time that an opponent watches film on us, there seems to be things that they can identify as that's their weakness. Mm-hmm. That's their weakness. Oh hell, there's like seven weaknesses. So let's just do that crap.
And you know that on that set piece. That they train, they practice that exact... I mean, Kyle Beckerman, my God,
beautiful.
What a play.
That was so beautiful.
I remember sitting at Dos Acero 2013 in the stands halfway through the game, and I say, wow, Kyle Beckerman is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go as far as Kyle Beckerman allows us, as far as he can take us in the World Cup.
Which makes you feel good about the state of American soccer.
Really? But people around me looked at me like I was out of my mind.
Yeah.
And no, this guy is that good. And that play on Saturday was gorgeous.
So
I'm not going to hate on that, because
that's where all the difficulty was that one touch, you know, whatever the hell magic touch it was. And it was flawless.
don't even know what you call that.
You don't even get mad after that kind of goal. You know?
It reminds me. Mm-hmm. It's not that, but the
felt a little warm.
The New England game, yeah. but that as well is just the. Hey, as soon as you have the opportunity to do this because it will probably break them mentality. It reminds me of when I used to play hockey, and I had this one coach that knew three or four goalies in the league, and it was as soon as you can, rip the hardest slap shot that you can right off of the goal, off of the goalie's forehead. And the reason is because for the rest of the game they'll flinch.
Concussion? Is
and
that
it's,
why?
No, they had a helmet on. Like it wasn't that. It was because if they saw a puck going right
in the 30s.
Right between their eyes.
What a brilliant coach
they
must
were.
Have had.
They were going to flinch the rest of the game, and they were gonna. It's finding a weakness with the opponent. And my question is, the way that I'm bringing this back to the crew is that, you know, with the fact that we got sliced through like butter right at the beginning of the New England game, with the fact that as soon as they really had the opportunity to pull that set piece. With Salt Lake, they did and did it well. Are they, like Justin said, looking at game film and looking at small inconsistencies that we have that they can exploit?
I think what opponents see with the Cruisers FC when they look at game film is whether it's miscommunication or just complete lack of communication on a goal like the Pocatetz-Clark thing, not paying attention on set pieces. It's been said of us this year, and I think that all of the signs are pointing to, maybe it's right, that we are a mentally weak team. You know, these are all, you know, if it's not a communication error, it's an execution error. I don't think anybody's looking at our team film going, they suck. There's no talent there. They're probably thinking the same thing all of us at this table are, is, hell, when are they going to turn around? But while they're mentally weak, let's knock them around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Alex?
Well, I also think one thing to keep in mind is that we may have Will Trapp back in a week or two. If that...
Saturday.
That's a possibility of somebody who can improve that kind of defensive rigidity, give a little bit more cover to the center backs, and maybe we would have less situations where they're kind of cutting through us like butter.
But in nothing, to take absolutely nothing away from Will, to take absolutely nothing away from him as in his skill as a player, he is a very, very young player.
Oh,
and if
sure.
we're looking at mental fortitude and we're looking at mental toughness, a lot of that comes with experience. And so, I think Will is a great player, and I think he'll add to that. I question if that's going to help, you know, with some of these small mistakes we're making.
Well, but I also think that when mental toughness is a problem, but it's more of a problem if you're having trouble winning games. If you get a win or two, that confidence starts to build. You start to kind of those negative thoughts kind of fade away, and you become a better team just from the fact that you're on a streak. I think if we get Will back, it's gonna be a boost to the whole squad. Mm-hmm. I think Saeed offers a little bit different thing than Will does. I think Will is a little bit more responsible on the defensive side, whereas Saeed is more of a creative mid who has less defensive responsibilities. It's gonna be interesting to see. I felt like we were better defensively before Trapp got the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that was Grana, how much of that was Trapp, hard to say, but it's definitely something that's going to be interesting to watch over the next week.
Sam, you had something to say?
Yes. Do you think that they're not... You haven't seen them really address defensive lapses. I mean, he'd mention it every once in a while, but not really address it in a more, you know, pushy way. Do you think they're not panicking because they already know that they have a signing, and I'm not talking about Cedric, but they have something in... the wing, something in their back pocket that's going to happen in the window that they're just trying to hold on as much as possible until that signing takes place?
I think you've got to bear in mind that they're probably thinking of something. I don't know exactly what it is. Either that or they're in managing mode where they're like, you know, let's not hit the panic button just yet. Because, yeah, there are defensive issues with the team. Team's also scoring enough goals to offset that, and they're still picking up points here and there. You know, not as much as we'd like them to, not as much as maybe they should be.
I just, to me, with his back and forth as the play has been this year, and getting back to what Justin said earlier about just the lack of really complete games, I don't think we should Toronto FC this whole thing. I don't think we should blow the ship up. At the same time, I'd like to see a bit more reaction. I'd like to see a bit more, this is what's going on, we acknowledge this, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. And we're not going to tell you everything we're going to do to fix it because we're, you know, not going
to
give those secrets away, but
like
at the same
time...
I'd
like to see the captain's arm man go to somebody else.
Who? Well, actually, that's segment two. That's segment two. Sorry. That's
what we call in the business a teaser, man.
One thing about Greg Berhalter is that he does not panic.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scoreboard could be on fire.
Again?
The bench could be on fire. The field could be on fire. Everything could be on fire. And I don't think that he would panic.
Well,
also don't think that Anthony Precourt's going to panic. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. Look, I think what's happening, though, is this. This team came into the season with enormous expectations from us, from all the, we represent fan base. Fan base had enormous expectations. The media, local and national, had enormous expectations for this team. And it's turning out to be a very average team. Mm-hmm. And so, in comparison to those really high expectations, we are now looking at this and saying, wow, this season is completely not what we expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying, make a move. I don't know if we are capable of making a move. This is where the Columbus Crew are.
Yeah.
The Columbus Crew are going to be this team. In order to keep people interested in the Columbus Crew, maybe we have to raise these expectations every year. Maybe we have to say, wow, did you see what we did last year? We outperformed what we were going to do. And what do you see this year? So what we came into the season, myself included, came into the season saying was that, wow, this really matters. You have to do better. You have to get to the final. You have to win the cup. You have to do something like that. We legitimately were predicting that this team was going to win the Supporters' Shield. And basically after 3 weeks, I looked at this team and said, there's no way we're going to win the Supporters' Shield.
Mm.
That's a huge downer.
Yeah.
That's 3 weeks. It's a big, big downer. And so now here we are, 3 months into the season, and it's looking like we might squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah. 4 months.
But yeah. 4 months.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't have us winning the Supporters' Shield, but I do think that this is a good team. I think two things happened to hurt this team in the last 2 months. One was losing Hernan Grana, which I think is a big loss, and the other was losing Will Trapp. We're going to get one of those players back soon, and Grana, I'm assuming, will be replaced. They get cap room. I would assume that they're going to use that cap room to try to improve the team. I don't see why they wouldn't. If they don't, that'll be disappointing. But I assume they're going to go out and they're going to get another defender, and we'll see how it goes. It's difficult to join midseason and perform well, but we've seen it happen in the past. We saw, lots of players. Higuain made a big impact when he first joined, for example.
No.
So I think it's possible, but we'll have to see. I definitely don't think this is as good as this team can be, though. I don't think that it's smart to write us off as, this is what to expect the whole year. I do think they're gonna make moves and they're gonna improve.
Sunshine.
The biggest thing is that
puppies.
If we are going to improve, this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Teams that win MLS Cup, teams that compete in the MLS Cup playoffs, get hot around the All-Star break and stay hot for the rest of the season. And we're not Toronto of a few years ago where we lost, the first, 11 games, something along those lines. We've gotten enough points at this point to stay relevant.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't see a light at the tunnel at the end of this point. I hope I'm wrong.
One of the issues, too, though, I think when you talk about what players you're going to get, is what we heard last night. Taylor Twellman basically let the thing that we all knew was going to happen is that, MLS is going to figure out some way to get more designated players into a certain city or cities that they want to see do well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
One of those cities is not Columbus. I hate to break it to you.
What?
They're not
really?
They're not going to be trying to figure out a way to get Chicharito.
They don't want this curve
into
the
Columbus.
Playoffs?
No.
They hate us because they ain't us. Oh.
And so
thank you, Don Garber.
So in lieu of that, what we have to do is be really, really super creative. That means going against, really fighting against the wind, fighting against the trend and that the league is basically created.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. I think one of the dangers is that people are going to start trying to say, we're really disappointed that you haven't made a move. And they're going to start holding Berhalter accountable, and they're going to start holding Anthony Precourt accountable for this. When it's really nothing that they can do. I mean, honestly, that's unless you can say, okay, well, here's another $3 million. So let's say Anthony Precourt pulls out $3 million and says, I'm going to put this $3 million in there. Well, we've seen that they've tried that.
Yeah.
And I know people don't want to hear it, but that's what happened with Mix Discrude last year.
Yep.
They offered him money, and he was going to take it, and the league stepped in and said, hey, you know what? If you wait, you might end up in New York City. It's not just saying. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so, you know...
Do you have, an asshole dad we can blame it on, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
great. Is he a criminal?
Yeah. So, okay. So even when... Yeah, so even when you try, it depends on whether or not it fits into aligning with the vision,
yeah.
to use a phrase.
But at the same time, I'm not sure we want to be a team like that. You know, Well, I think we're asking for a bit of that, but I don't think that we are asking for...
Unite and strengthen, Alex.
Yeah, unite and strengthen. We're gonna continue this conversation about player pickups, and we're going to talk as well about MLS and the weird, stupid allocation order that they have coming up right after the break. So stick around for that. This is the Massive Report. It is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. For a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, running scared.
This edition of the Massive Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Land Grant Brewing Company. Land Grant Brewing Company is a local business located down in Franklinton and is run by a wonderful team of humans who come together every day to produce delicious, intoxicating alcohol, which is then served to you, the paying customer, in medium-sized glass containers which are filled to the brim. Hooray! But Morgan, you say, I don't like medium-sized glass containers which are filled to the brim with delicious, intoxicating alcohol from Land Grant Brewing Company because I only do crystal meth. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, unidentified and dangerously strung-out Orlando City soccer supporter. While crystal meth is, without question, the one true champagne of Central Florida, it is also a reckless and disgusting thing to put in your frail, open sore-covered body, and is certainly no replacement for a delicious beer from Land Grant Brewing Company. So while all you hard-ass Iron Lions are busy winning stands, throwing beer cans at Kai Kamara, and redirecting a unique web domain that you paid for to a placeholder domain that you get for free when you open a website with Shopify, the rest of you cool cats can head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company to grab a cold one and enjoy yourself. And don't forget to tell them your friends over at the Massive Report Podcast sent ya. Crystal meth is bad. Across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Reminds me of MLS allocation rules. That's all. We're back. It is segment two of the Massive Report, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Morgan, you know about something that's going on at Land Grant, and since they're our title sponsor, we should probably promote it.
Why was that song not an option for the Land Grant bump? We seriously sat here for 25 minutes of that Lee Greenwood puke, and I couldn't read the first word, you know, this. It did. I vomited.
It's probably because you're illiterate.
It's a great song, Morgan. It's great.
I picked this country, and I don't like that song.
It's a great song.
So
you were born here. Yeah, I chose it.
Day of the Montreal
I don't
away
like that
game.
Song.
Yeah.
They're brewing two beers of two different colors.
Yeah, so what
black and gold, and you have to vote for one, right?
I think what is happening is that there's going to be a viewing party for the Montreal away game on July 11th at Land Grant. And they're brewing crew supporter specific beers. They don't have names yet. There isn't a final. They're like two blacks
so
and two golds.
You get to taste test.
Yeah,
them.
You can come and you,
oh,
can, right. You can buy them. You taste them. You vote on them. You drink them. And Matt, I can't wait.
Can we name
back
one
to
of
you,
them?
Matt, Alex, God.
Can we name one of them the Tony Galifo Ale? Is that a possibility?
Well, that's actually a good idea.
That'd be the black one.
Yeah.
Tony Galifo Sweat Pat Pale Ale.
Can I just say this is great on a couple of levels, but the most predominant that sticks out to me is that the crew are black and gold. Black and gold are colors that are associated with different types of beers.
Greg is learning.
I am very.
Are they gonna?
We have beer in Australia. Amazingly enough, we are a nation of drunks.
It's full of spiders, though.
That's how we deal with the spiders. We just
spider
get drunk.
Beer.
All right. No, I'm just very glad this isn't happening in Seattle.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can't imagine blue and green beer. It just,
So let's get back to what we were talking about. MLS allocation rules. We have the transfer window opening. Conversation that was had with friend of the program, Adam Jardy, actually today. The crew have the opportunity. This is kind of the time. Tomorrow is the roster deadline where anyone with semi-guaranteed contracts would have to be waived. Berhalter was asked if they're assessing the roster, said we're there, we're all the way there. There will be no changes made to the roster as far as dropping anyone before the transfer window opens. So that was reported today by the Columbus Dispatch by Adam Jardy. I don't really see any. We've got, what is it, two spaces available right now, two mm-hmm. international spaces that are available. So if anything, I mean, it's just kind of is what we thought that was going to be. But then we go into this window, and like we were talking about before the break, a player of a certain threshold. Wow, I don't know where that came from. A player of a certain threshold. You know, Justin, you posted the bingo board earlier today, and they're not coming to Columbus. I'd almost just feel more comfortable if the league just came out and said that, you know, that this is what's going on, that you know, we're trying to stack our major market teams so that our major market teams can be successful so that we can make more money.
It makes you wonder why they have an allocation order to begin with when it's really just a question of no matter if you're at the front of the line, if the bigger kid wants your lunch money, he's going to take it.
Just Dempsey.
Right.
Like, I really don't think that the crew are going to be in competition for any of like the super really well-known players.
Yeah, we're not going for Chicharito.
No, we're not. And if there's a player that we go after that can help out another team, and the other team makes a play that's close.
Yeah.
And can then MLS can then say, okay, well here's some other added benefits to your being in, say, like New York City. Then I think we're out of luck. Mm-hmm. However, there's one name that I think of repeatedly. And there's and Alex is gonna hate this.
Oh, Dorothy, my high school girlfriend.
I know exactly who it is.
There's one name that comes to mind. And it's been coming to mind for the last month or so, and that's Esteban Cambiaso.
Oh, here we go.
If the crew could make a play for Cambiaso, like an exceptional amount of money, I think there's a chance that he could come to Columbus because the reason for this is because he has turned down an offer from West Ham.
Yeah.
What was rumored to be a very good offer to go play for West Ham. He's 34 years old. He was Leicester's Player of the Year last year. He made a difference for that team. He basically kept them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. He says that he loves Leicester. Leicester City is a place to play.
But he's lying.
No, I think he might be telling the truth. But I think he played for Inter for years. Inter is a huge place to play in Milan. It's like truly a big club.
Mm-hmm. That's a true story.
Do you worry that he would feel too much pressure coming to a bigger market like Columbus?
Well, the issue
team?
The issue is this: like,
is that
there
what
was
you're saying?
There was actually an interview that was in the Leicester newspaper today that were they were asked. Well, basically, the Leicester City beat writer was asked, where did he see Cambiaso signing with Leicester City again? And he said that it's possible, but the longer that this goes, the less likely that it's going to happen. And he sees that, and I agree with this, that Cambiaso would look at it as a big challenge to come and play in MLS, one, and to play for a mid-level team in MLS, two. And he's Argentine. He's an Argentinian player.
Oh, so Easton Town Center.
So there's the whole Higuain thing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, totally. that's a legit thing that they can play. And, I mean, so I'm not saying that this is going to happen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a possibility if the crew go for it.
Yeah.
I think we have about as good of a chance of getting a player of that level and that name notoriety as we do... Well, a bigger name.
Yeah.
Say, like, Drogba, like, was brought up here.
Question.
How much would he cost?
Hold on.
That might be $1.5 million. I mean, it's...
Jump change.
Yeah.
Most importantly, you're aware of that house that all of the Argentines have lived in.
Yes.
The one that Cirque has written about.
Yes.
Since Viana left, is anybody living in that house?
Yes.
Damn it.
But...
All right,
I don't think that's where
thing.
He's going to live. I mean,
when
honestly,
he have
I don't...
To, okay.
No.
I don't know enough about science.
A player like that, I don't think it would live in...
There's a house that all the Argentinians have lived in Westerville?
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's New Albany, actually.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
It's like
it's
a...
like right in the border.
Duncan
I
used
could
to
never
talk
see...
about it in, like, the preseason, like, introductory things that Cirque used to do. And, yeah, it's like a legendary house.
I could never see Gino lowering himself to live in Westerville.
He lives like three houses down from there.
That's not Westerville. That's New Albany.
New Albany.
Yeah, that's New Albany.
It's like right on the border.
I know exactly where Gino lives. He lives
it's
nowhere near
nice
Westerville.
It's a very nice
real question, though.
Very nice
do you think that... So what I always say is that if a player of any importance or notoriety were to, you know, be contacted by the Cruisers and became interested in playing for Cruisers FC... because of single entity, if they were even somewhat recognizable, the league would step in and go, you know, that's good, but we think we can capitalize on your value better in a different market. Is he too big of a name to end up in Columbus?
No.
No?
The only other place I can think of him going would be Toronto. Maybe.
They'd have to rewrite the non-existent rule book again to allow for that many.
They would basically have to do that, which they might do.
And also, in all seriousness, keep in mind that every time a team comes into the league, they are given an undisclosed amount of fake Garber Bucks allocation money. So who knows if Orlando or NYCFC still has some.
Well, another team that... Portland would be another option for him, but they play on a really crappy surface. And, I don't think that... Cambiaso's 34. He's not injury-prone by any stretch of the imagination, but he's also not terrifically...
He's not looking to blow out a knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows. And so that's a good question. I mean, I think that would hold him up from going to a place like
Portland. It'd be an interesting target.
My Maris snobbery will show now. What position does he play?
He's a midfielder.
Yeah.
He's a defensive
midfielder. Okay.
He would basically, in a place, if he were to come to Columbus, he would basically take Will Trapp's spot or Tony Chani's spot. But, look, I have questions about Will Trapp. I mean, I think everybody should. I don't know. I mean, and they're not good questions.
Like, where is he?
Yeah, like, where is he?
What
like,
are you
what's,
doing?
How is he doing?
What's How's
he
stuff doing? Going for you?
Yeah.
I think if they signed him, and I'm probably going to shock Justin here, I would not be opposed to this. I think he's a really talented player. I watched him for years in Italy, and he's very, very good, and he's even beyond just his ability as a player, his personal qualities I think would really help this team. He's a very fiery kind of inspiring player. Even when Javier Zanetti was captain of Inter, Cambiasso was still one of those players that other players would look to kind of for that little extra boost to kind of keep going if things weren't going well. But I think he would help the team. I do think that Trapp is too important to this team for them to do anything with him. I think he's even if he's not fully fit, I think from a brand standpoint, what he offers is like the face of like the Columbus face of the crew, especially with the rebrand that we just had. I think he could have his leg, he could step on a landmine and they would still be like, oh well, we're gonna get him a fake leg and he's still gonna play.
I don't think you deal Trapp in a situation like this. I mean, even in this perfect world where this were to happen, this is a guy, I mean, Trapp's a young kid. This is a guy who Trapp can learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think Esteban Cambiasso would be a better Kyle Beckerman. That's mm-hmm. exactly what I think he would do.
Damn.
I think,
and like Will Trapp has said that he wants to be like Kyle Beckerman. Wow, imagine him being an understudy, which is what he needs.
Yeah,
he needs to be an understudy to a player like Cambiasso.
I just don't see them benching him. I think you would have to change to a 4-3-3.
I don't necessarily think you bench Trapp for this. I mean, with the concussion issue that he's had, you make sure he's 100% before you put him back out, obviously. Yeah. But at the same point, I don't think you'd have to necessarily completely bench Trapp in order to have him learn from it.
In this formation, I think you would have to. They would have to change system.
Potentially.
Because you can't bench Shawnee, and he can't play attacking mid. And you can't really bench Trapp, I feel like, because he's the face of the franchise or becoming the face.
All right.
It'd be interesting.
Sam, thoughts?
If Tony or Full Trapp hasn't had this concussion, we'd probably be talking about Trapp being traded to or sold somewhere in Europe right now. I don't think Trapp will ever go to another MLS team. That's my opinion, is that if he goes, he's going to go out of the country. The other thing is, if you get Cambiasso, Tony Chani can see the bench.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Exactly. Chani or Trapp.
I mean, that's all I'm going to say. I mean Trapp, if the option is Trapp or Chani, Chani can see the bench. Nothing against Chani, just it's freaking
It's Cambiasso, right.
At half of his old playing level is probably going to be still a bit more refined and more creative. Actually, I'll take a slower, more refined and more creative. Than a faster, less refined, less creative.
But if you're paying $1.5 million for a player, you're probably not going to want to put that player in a position that you already have real quality at. And I feel like our defensive mid is one of our strongest areas.
Not if he's an upgrade.
I would rather upgrade a position where we're weaker. You know, maybe make Parker a center back.
No, if you're putting him in Chani's place, you are upgrading, and that's not a defensive mid position. That's actually an offensive mid position, really a mid position.
It's a true center mid.
Yeah.
It's a hypothetical, obviously. At this point, we don't know who Anthony Precourt's been feverishly dialing for the last month and a half to try to see what's going on. But it's as good of a conversation as we've had about anything else.
I hope he's dialing somebody though. I really do. I know there's this whole thing about the crew are, last year they made this whole big deal about how they had such a great year and how the numbers for executive suites and all that stuff were like the highest it's ever been. I hope we're, investing that money in the team more. We have this cap room for Grana. I want to see that cap room put to use. I really, really want to see us reinforce this team. It needs it.
Well, we know that Anthony Precourt listens to the show, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to have a private conversation. Tony Aces, your good pal Morgan Hughes here. First of all, how the heck are you? Last night was crazy. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody about it. My real point here is I cannot handle another Mix 1-4 signing night drama Twitter binge because I will die. I'll physically die. Please spare my life, Tony. Back to you, Matt.
Basically what Morgan's saying is beast it.
Beast it.
Beast it. Beast mode.
Yeah.
Start beasting it.
That's right.
The one thing that I will say on this, and this is just because we know after that Mr. Precourt's listening, we are right now 1 point ahead of last year at this junction.
Yeah.
I think we had a lot more away wins.
Instead of players, I'd like to see a pedestrian bridge over the train tracks. I'd like to see a stadium roof. What's the last one? Oh, damn it.
Miroslav Klose.
No.
Did you say
I
roof?
Was about
did you
say
roof?
To say roof.
I did say roof.
Vacuum tubes to every seat so that you can get hot chicken delivered whenever you want it.
Alex, I was about to say how nice it is that we can have a conversation about players that we need, positions that need upgrading.
I need chicken vacuums.
Tony, while you're listening,
that sounds terrible. Chicken back. There's no good way to say that.
To exhibit just how passionate the fans are about the pedestrian bridge over the train tracks, I'd like to tell a story about Greg Benson in the city of Chester last year. Well,
it's really nice that we don't need a striker. That's what I'm telling you, Alex.
3-5-2.
My microphone is off.
Yeah, every time you mention Greg going to the bathroom, you get your mic cut off now.
That's a really good point, though. We aren't mentioning a striker.
Yeah,
we are.
I mean, that's a completely different situation than was last.
That's
year.
A 180 from 12 months ago.
Although there was conversation about about why we don't have Jairo Arrieta on this team. I mean, a couple weeks ago, that was one of the points of conversation. And look, I.
Or 3-5-2. 3-5-2
or
an open cup.
Yeah, if we have a 3-5-2, then we're gonna need a second
striker. Jairo Arrieta is well ahead of his time. And everything else.
Mr.
He
Precourt.
Actually almost scored a bicycle kick chip against Toronto FC.
He did against Chicago last year in the Open Cup, I think.
Yeah,
remember that?
He did. Yeah, that's his thing.
I think it was Pablo Mara, the DC United writer, who tweeted out, does Jairo even know? This was a couple of weeks ago. He said, does Jairo even know what offside is? And I retweeted it saying, does this sound familiar? Do old habits die hard? Does it not change regardless of which shirt you're in?
Well, and I want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
About Esteban Cambiaso. His nickname, as you may or may not know, is Cuchu.
Uh-huh.
So
which means old man.
It does. instead of...
That's awesome. He's the same age as me. I'm going to go kill myself now.
Instead of Mix 1-4, we have Cuchu to Crew.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Cuchu to Crew.
Cuchu to Crew.
Last question. I'm the walrus. Yeah.
Last question. We're going to go around real quick and do this because we're way over time at this point.
You better play Jackie Blue as the bump going out here.
So there was a discussion on Facebook, and Sam wanted us to bring this up about the captain's armband. This is lightning round. Just a quick question here because we're in this whole thing. Does it stay with Parkhurst? And if not, who do you give it to? Morgan?
No. I want it to go to Pogatetz. I want somebody to take control back there. I am terrified of having a season where we finally have the second coming of, some fraction of Stern John, and we waste it away with stupid defensive laps. If we're not going to sign somebody that's a big-name player or an old man from Argentina to come in and save the season, we need something to be completely... We need a shake-up on the back line. Give the armband to Pogatetz and feed the dog.
I'm a huge fan of Pogatetz, but I'm not a huge fan of changing captain mid-season. I would keep it on Parkhurst until the off-season, and I would re-examine it then. But for now, I would keep it on Parkhurst, and yeah, Pogatetz or Higuain would be options in the winter.
Justin.
Esteban Cambiaso. And if he's not available, Ethan Finley.
Interesting.
Yep.
Justin, we already have signed Ethan Finley.
I think it should go to Pogatetz. I don't think he has the tenure that you would normally expect from a club captain, but at the same time, I've seen more from him in regards to controlling things at the back, talking to the ref, being willing to get up in the faces of whoever he needs to, trying to grab some kind of control of this team. And I think he's earned it.
All right. Fair enough, guys. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We will be back in a few minutes. Greg's going to blabber incoherently in Australian, and we will indulge him. And then we're going to talk Women's World Cup. That is coming up next. This, my friends, is the Massive Report.
Wasn't hurting anyone.
what that sound means. It's time for episode 45 of Cards Against Insanity with crowd noise this week, apparently. Yeah, episode 45, and for this week only, there is also an alternate extended version available called episode 78. Give it a moment. I kid on hipsters from time to time, but they make that joke relevant again, so thanks, guys. It's a vinyl joke.
Ah.
Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by Sepp Blatter, who quits and then comes back when he decides he misses the attention. Sort of like when someone deactivates their Facebook account. I don't know. Yeah, I'm aware I'm one of those people. Self-deprecating humor, yo. And opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or the Columbus Crew SC. Let's cut right to the cheese. Yellow card... Yeah, that was on purpose. Yeah. Yellow card to Brazil. A year after getting unceremoniously dumped out of their own World Cup, both the men's and women's national teams made exits from their respective tournaments in the space of less than a week. Ladies first, the women's team and their star player Marta were eliminated from the World Cup in the round of 16 by Australia, bizarrely requiring a women's team to settle the debate once and for all about which country has the bigger snakes. Meanwhile, the men's team blew a 1-0 lead and crashed out of the Copa America at the hands of Paraguay thanks to Thiago Silva not so much handling the ball in the penalty area as spiking it like he was playing volleyball. This came on the back of Neymar's suspension during a group stage loss to Colombia when he kicked the ball at an opposing player after the referee had blown the final whistle. Ladies and gentlemen, Yoga Bonito está muerto. Look, all national soccer teams go through dry spells. England's been in one for half a century. But Brazil's in one of those countries where you need the national team to be competitive or at least competent, or else the fans are going to straight up burn the country down. And right now, they are neither. Yellow card to Connor Toole. With a name like that, you know you're getting on this show, but actually the card is not for him. It's for every single person he came in contact with on Thursday night when he turned up at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for the NBA draft. Toole, who blogs for Elite Daily, is 6'10" and white, and that will actually become important to the story. Decided to have some fun with the locals by showing up at the arena in a new suit and having his picture taken with dozens of NBA fans, all of whom were happy to wish him good luck on the night. And it gets better. His height, his suit, and his swagger were enough to get him on the floor of the arena and brushing shoulders with several other real prospects. And after the draft, he went one better still when he put on a brand new Utah Jazz cap and boarded a subway to Manhattan, convincing everyone he was their first round pick. Drinks on the house? Check. Meet and greets with actual NBA players? Check. Girls' phone numbers and a little tonsil hockey all caught on camera? Check and check. If only there was a way that all of these people who took selfies with Connor could use those phones to, I don't know, look up the draft results. Because the Jazz actually did draft a 6'10 guy in the first round, but he's, how do I put this, Canadian and not white. Oops. Yellow cards to the grounds crew at Sporting Park during Saturday night's game between Sporting Kansas City and the Colorado Rapids. You guys saw this, right? 2 minutes into the second half, with the Rapids about to take a set piece, the sprinklers went off. All of them. For about 2 minutes before the same Woody who turned them on figured out what was going on and turned them off again. And you want to know the best part? This was all done by smartphone. Turns out that the sprinkler system is controlled by an app. One of the groundskeepers opened the app and then, here's the kicker, according to a sideline reporter, quote, grazed the button in his pocket, end quote. He butt-dialed the sprinklers. There's an app for that. Either that or it was just some guy at a Kansas City Buffalo Wild Wings. Who can be sure? Yellow card to Vlad Dragomir. He is a 16-year-old who just signed with Arsenal on a development contract, and the club isn't particularly thrilled with his Instagram usage. Dragomir's been told by the club to take down several rather racy pictures of young women that he's been sharing on his account. Now look, I get it. The guy's 16. A lot of teenagers are doing the very same thing, but not all of them just signed a development contract with a Premier League club. And just like Pablo Sandoval of the Red Sox last week, who got caught on Instagram during a game, Arsenal decided that this sends the wrong message to anyone who might be searching the internet for more information on a new player. Which is funny, because when I searched the internet for information about him, all I got was a bunch of articles about the pictures he had to take down. All articles of which showed the pictures in question. Well done keeping everything on the DL, Arsenal. And finally, a big, bold, fabulous red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple card to Josh Robinson and the Minnesota Vikings and everyone else in sports and out of it, who used the power of the internet this weekend to tell the world just how backward, bigoted, and utterly ridiculous you are. In case you've been living under several thousand rocks for the last 72 hours, the Supreme Court decided on Friday to legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states, finally bringing the U.S. up to speed with such first-world powers as South Africa, Greenland, and French Guiana.
And to be fair, most of the reaction, even in sports, was positive. In addition to openly gay athletes like Robbie Rogers, Jason Collins, Megan Rapinoe, and Martina Navratilova, allies such as Landon Donovan, Sasha Kljestan, and former NBA and NFL players like John Amici and Scott Fujita all tweeted out messages of support for the decision. But in a country where the majority of the population identifies as religious and where half of them believe that Jurassic Park was a documentary, you knew that not everyone was going to be happy about this. Among them, Robinson, who tweeted, quote, "Love is love, so what will we say when the 30-year-old loves your 10-year-old? When the dad loves his 6-year-old? It's different? Yeah, okay," end quote. Ah, the classic slippery slope argument. Robinson later protected his account and apologized yesterday for the remarks, or rather issued a passive-aggressive boilerplate, quote, "God's laws supersede man's laws," end quote, non-apology, that his hateful remarks in the public forum could have been interpreted as hateful. Or hypocritical. Imagine, a guy who touches the skin of a pig for a living, as prohibited by the Book of Leviticus, would use the same book to rail on homosexuality. Michael Hubbs, an Olympic speed skater, was just as bad. He posted a photoshopped image of his emo self being comforted by Jesus. Some effort went into that. That included captions such lines as, "I've never seen gay or lesbian wild animals, and they always create babies," before immediately following it up with, "But I'm not here to judge anyone." Bull honky. I usually avoid religious discussion on this segment because we are, after all, a sports podcast. I have friends who identify as Christian, some of whom are at this table, and plenty of others who listen to this show and follow me on social media. And I'm aware that most of them have been very supportive of a segment of society who cannot change their sexuality any more than they can change the color of their skin, and that their country, at least in this respect, has finally decided to treat them as equals. Almost like you guys read those parts in the Bible about loving one another. But to the athletes, the elected officials, and everyone else with their jockstraps in a bunch over someone else getting the same rights you've always had, suck it up. I could go into detail about all the other verses in the Bible you choose to ignore because they're not convenient for you, or how Jesus was never written to mention homosexuality but once, but I'd be talking around the real point, which is that the Bible isn't the Constitution. The United States is not a Christian nation. You don't get to use your religion to tell others what they can and cannot do. And at the end of the day, this doesn't affect you. Your third marriage will be just as miserable whether or not the gay couple next door get to have their insurance carried. Boycott all the products you want because they tweeted a rainbow logo. Pack your bags and move somewhere that LGBT people cannot get married, although be advised, you're rapidly running out of places to go. The bottom line is this. You, Josh Robinson, have the right to your opinions and beliefs. You also have the right to worship a God who you think is throwing a tantrum over marriage equality being the law of the land. Nobody is taking away from that away from you, nor do we want to. But the laws of men and women decide who has rights in the United States, and they, nobody else, decided that the answer to that question is everyone. And that's a good thing, because anyone who equates same-sex marriage to incest and pedophilia is not someone I want blessing America. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614, and if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder once again to use the hashtag MRCards if you've got something I should be including on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
Sam's like looking at me. What? We're back. Segment 3 of the Massive Reports. It is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. U.S. Women's National Team. I'm sorry. Apparently, we're going straight to Morgan because he has breaking news. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I've been watching highlights of the old man during Greg's segment and during the break, and I am all in.
Uh-huh.
All in.
All in.
Old man to Columbus Crew. Cruisers.
Can I? Yes.
Coochie to Crew.
Can I back off the Miroslav Klose thing because he has re-signed for Lazio and instead put all of my weight behind Teo Gutierrez of River Plate? If you're listening, Anthony Precourt. Teo to Crew.
All right. Anthony, do not listen to this man. He is stupid. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Morgan.
You're welcome.
I still think we should sign Alex Morgan. That's just me. Segueing into our next segment, talking about United States women's national team beating China over the week. And now going on to face Germany tomorrow night. U.S. versus Germany, an ill-timed 7 o'clock matchup. Ill-timed because we'll be talking about the Open Cup in the next segment. I know. So, by the way, tomorrow at Hendox Pub, we will have the Open Cup match plus the women's national team match. and Copa America on different TVs. So
if you have a lazy eye, Hendox is a perfect place for you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to watch two games at once.
Half of my ex-girlfriends should totally be here for that.
Ooh.
If you have a third eye.
If you have a third eye, oh, well.
It's probably blind, though.
Oh, God,
Larry Bird has eyes all over his head. I hope.
So the U.S. defeat Germany, or excuse me, defeat China. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. The U.S. defeat Germany. The U.S. defeat China, go on to face Germany tomorrow night in the Women's World Cup. Give me your thoughts, Justin, on this one. It's going to be a tough match.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. We're going to win, though.
Uh-huh.
There you go. I think Germany
concise,
got lucky.
Just like I like it.
Yeah, Germany got lucky. France is a better team. I would have been worried if we were playing France. I think France would have. Now that would have been a game.
Yeah.
Germany's good. Don't get me wrong. The Germany's very good.
Mm.
But I like the way that the U.S. are playing. I know that that kind of goes counter to what everybody is saying. Like, we don't score goals, right? But you score enough to win.
Yeah.
And
if you don't allow that many, then I think you're still okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I think... I know... Allie Krieger is my favorite player on the team. I think she's just a solid fullback. And look, I mean, you see what they do when you have like just players who know what their roles are.
Yeah.
And it seems to be like there's a level of competency on this team at certain key positions that I think pays off. And we saw it against Colombia. We saw it against China. And even with all of the worry and all the concerns about us not scoring goals, I think we find a way to win. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to happen in Germany. A lot of these players, for instance, Krieger played in Germany. So they played a lot against a lot of these players who they're going to be facing. So that's not – there is some familiarity there. And I don't believe in destiny for a team, but – kind of get a good feeling about the way that this team's playing.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Alex.
I also think that Germany's a very good team. I'm less optimistic about our chances. I think it's kind of a coin toss who's going to win this game. Germany are at a much different level than China, which we saw earlier. And we played well against China. But if we played as well as we played against China against Germany, I think we lose. And so we're going to have to continue improving. In the first few games of the tournament, the U.S. did not, I didn't think, look good. They looked much better against China. If they can continue to kind of hone their system and continue to gel under Jill Ellis, I think we'll have a good shot. But if we play the way that we played, it only takes a couple of chances for Germany, whereas China weren't really creating anything. Germany will punish any little mistake you make, and I just don't know. I want to be optimistic. I want to say, oh, we're going to go out and we're going to win 3-0, but we could easily go out there and lose the game.
All right, Morgan.
I enjoyed the China game. It was great to watch the United States look like the second-best team in the world. They played like it. They controlled everything about that game. And I understand the narrative goes like this, like, oh, yeah, well, it was just China. They sucked. But I thought the narrative before that game was China was going to beat us. So, you know, if you don't give up goals and you only score one, you still win. Was it France that had the freakishly tall, I don't even know what position she played. She was just so big. She was everywhere. She was like 6'8". I think Shaq played for France. So I'm very happy that France did not win because Shaq is good. Throwing that gold bond everywhere, driving his Buick onto the field. Cambiaso to Columbus Cruisers FC.
Greg, my condolences to your Matildas. Japan's Japan, man.
You know,
Japan's a hell of a team. So it's you know.
And Japan controlled most of that game.
Yeah.
Australia didn't really get much of a sniff. They kind of whiffed on a couple chances that they had to cause the upset. You know what? I'm thrilled with how far the Matildas went. I think they did women's soccer in Australia a huge favor.
Mm-hmm.
They've certainly increased the profile of it. A lot of those players actually play over here in the Women's Professional League.
Yeah.
And the rest of them play for the W League in Australia, which is going to lift the profile of that league. So
good.
You know, they made it to the quarterfinals and got eliminated on a like 3 minutes to go goal by the defending champions, which is essentially a carryover team from 2011.
You know, Greg, she's young. She has a bright future. Bindi Irwin had a hell of a tournament, and the sky's the limit with that one, my friend.
Yeah, she was good.
All right,
she was very, very good.
Yeah. So, Greg, your thoughts on USA Germany?
Well, now that I don't feel dirty rooting for the U.S. anymore because my first choice is out, but in all seriousness, they did impress me a lot more against China than they had against anybody else, far and above. The way that they played in the rest of the tournament. Defensively, they're still solid, although they weren't tested against China, as has been said. The Chinese didn't really create much of anything that, mm-hmm. that caused them to... Germany is going to do that. And I don't think Germany is a worse team than France. I think France played a better game in that quarterfinal. Germany kind of lucky to get away with it, but it's the lottery of the penalty shootout. And Germany is actually very, very good at those in World Cups, as we've seen men's and women's.
Yeah.
And that's what this may come down to. These two teams might wind up... This is 1v2. They might wind up canceling each other out. Because the U.S.'s defense has been their strong suit the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. And I don't think with the way that they've been playing offensively, they get through Germany. I just think that their defense is going to be too... I see this 0-0 as, you know, for most, if not all, of the match. This may be decided on the shootout.
All right. Last question that I have. We'll go around the table real quick, and then we'll get score predictions on USA-Germany. Japan and England play each other. Any thoughts on that one? I'll leave this open to the table.
Yeah, Japan are really good. Yeah. England are decent, but... Japan are on another level. I don't know if you haven't seen the goal that Japan scored in their last match, look it up. I can't remember. I think it was Isabushi, maybe. I don't know how you say her name, and I know I'm butchering it. But if
she's not listening, it's okay.
If you search it on YouTube, just Japan goal, I mean, it's going to come up. It was a back heel through to somebody who then played it back across goal to the top of the box, and she just hit it perfectly. It was a beautiful, beautiful goal. They are the complete package when it comes to a team. They have a great system in place. They execute very well. They're very, very good at passing and moving the ball around. They're kind of, I think, what Jill Ellis wants this U.S. team to play like. I mean, I think it's very fluid. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to be way too much for England, and I fully expect to see Japan in the final.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Japan is playing very sexy soccer, and I don't mean that from it's the Women's World Cup and, you know, the girls or whatever. They're playing an attractive game. Totally. No. Thanks, Morgan. No, they are playing a very, very attractive game. It's the passes are on point, the movement up the pitch is fluid. They are fun to watch, and as I said on Twitter during the game against Australia, they would have been a lot more fun to watch for me if I wasn't actively rooting for them to lose.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I went to the Columbus Eagles game on Sunday. I filled the well.
How did that go?
It was very poor. It was the game was 45 minutes delayed because they forgot to get referees.
You're kidding.
I'm literally not kidding, no.
Wow.
The national anthem singer was standing too far away from midfield, so the microphone didn't work. We went down 1-0, and I believe the 30th second.
Also, just like the New England game,
we
which we didn't
Motor
talk about.
Motor City FC, who is really good, and there's unlimited substitutions in the NWPSL or whatever it's called. But other than that, just fantastic time.
The thing, I do think it's a good thing to have, and I hope that people will support it. I've been to a game this season. I'm going to try to make it to more.
Only have one left.
Yeah, yep. It's good to try to make it out to that, though, because
it's going to be that one.
I think
more soccer fans need to go. It was as quiet as a golf tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, uncomfortably so.
I think a lot of us want.
If you have gas problems, don't go.
I think you will be hurt.
Oh, I just thought because it was further out than Crew Stadium, so it'd take you longer to drive too. There.
Yeah,
they don't really promote the game, so it's always hard to kind of get people out to it. But I hope that women's soccer takes hold in the city, because I do think we have a core group of, you know, hardcore soccer fans in the city who would come out and support a team if, for example, Anthony Precourt decided to.
Oh, here we go. Are you going to tweet at him again, psycho?
I probably will later, yeah. It'll be 2 a.m. I'll be drunk. I'll be like, Precourt, women's team, dude.
It's like my third Red Bull.
We'll be hopped up on sugar-free Red Bulls.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Precourt. We told you about going full Galifo. You never go full Galifo.
Last, Justin, before.
As long as they're called Columbus United FC.
Yeah.
We should do it.
Dear God, we haven't even talked about that.
Columbus City FC. Or?
Oh, God. Okay, that's going to be the first segment for next segment before we get into the Open Cup, because that's just embarrassing. We're going to come back in just a second here and talk about Atlanta, because it's Atlanta.
It's on fire.
God. Oh, it's if you haven't listened to the David Cross bits about Atlanta, where he grew up, you should just do that. Because that'll tell you everything you need to know about Atlanta. But we're going to come back in a little bit, and we're going to talk about Atlanta, because every time we talk about an expansion team, I get $5 from an unknown source.
Iwabuchi. That's the name of the person who scored the goal for Japan. Iwabuchi.
The woman who scored the goal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for the love of God, stop texting us and telling us.
The slayer of Australian hearts.
All right, we're going to come back in just a second here. It's coming up. And then we're going to talk about more of the Crew. It's all on the way, my friends. This is the Massive Report. Hot sun, beating down. Burn my feet just walking around. Hot sun, making me sweat. Beatles getting close, hasn't died. Not one more word tonight between here and there. We'll put a distance the size of the ocean, so now his heart can beat a skipping rhythm as the cadence carries me. I almost drift away far enough to forget that when it comes, you cannot hesitate. And when found, I will write on a count and seal it in an envelope addressed to your last known residence. And we're back. It is segment four of the Massive Report. Hey, thanks to our good buddies at Barbasol, by the way. They brought us the new, and we'll tweet this out in a little bit. Sam will tweet it out because Sam has control of the Massive Report Twitter account. But the new dinosaur cans from Barbasol, which is pretty cool. They have dinosaurs on them for Jurassic World. And this is what I love. On the back, it says, "Handle with care. A baby T-Rex may be incubating."
That is hilarious, and it's also way more entertaining already than the movie.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But
baby T-Rex deaths are not necessarily the opinion of the Massive Report.
What's that? No, I can't hear that at all. Here. What if I were to? Are you going to spray Barbasol in your hand? Oh, that definitely did. Yeah,
the mic picked that up.
Ooh, he's eating it.
Yeah, so good.
Is it the soothing aloe?
This is the soothing aloe, and it's so soothing.
The soothing aloe is the only shaving cream that I use, and you just got shaving cream all over your nose. But that's the
only. I don't care because it's so soothing.
Is that a baby T-Rex leg in there?
It is. Yeah, there's also a baby. Dude, you just killed the baby T-Rex that was incubating.
Oh.
Oh my God, Justin, you murderer!
I really like all the different dinosaurs that they have on these cans. You know, they have, you know, the T-Rex, they have Frank Lampard, Andrea Pirlo.
Oh my God, that was great.
I can't wait to get my Andrea Pirlo NYCFC Barbasol can. I don't know
what
it is.
Oh, man.
Wow. It's because he's old.
Is that Chris Bach? Did you play...
Oh my God!
Got him.
I'm going to suspend my rivalry with Alex for this entire segment. That was so
that
good.
Was good.
Yeah. Are you just having shaving cream fun over there, Justin?
I am.
Are you going to shave your palms? What are you doing?
I keep having this dream about this mountain for some reason.
Are you also planning on buying Spatula City?
Yes,
man. Spatula City. If there's ever a night to have a live stream,
seriously,
I love the Spatula
really
so much.
Done that.
I bought the company,
but seriously, does that not smell amazing?
It does. It smells really.
Yeah,
good.
I'm
just gonna rub it all over.
Like I'm saying, go to your local Giant Eagle convenience store.
It does smell good.
And buy yourself some.
Here,
of
smell
these,
my hand.
Some of them dinosaur cans. I'm just gonna
note to the Barbasol marketing team: if you sponsor our podcast next season, tons of people could be smelling Justin's hands.
Honestly, if you sponsor Barbasol,
not the first time that's been offered.
Certainly not.
Barbasol, if you sponsor our podcast next season, we will have a shaving cream fight in the back of this bar during a show. I'm just saying.
I'm down for that.
I will gladly live stream that.
And then Willie will have to clean it up.
Let's not waste the glorious product.
And that just means I have to make more and sell more.
If Barbasol is good enough for referees around the world, it's good enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Absolutely. We'll just shave Alex's head.
I already cut my hair. That's not going to work anymore.
We were then just your eyebrows. Atlanta decided to name their team this week. So welcome to the league, Arsenal Tottenham Sporting United FC.
It's the Atlanta Spurs.
Ball Kickers Spurs.
Yep.
97. Seriously, Atlanta United FC. That's the name you went with. We already know Minnesota's getting a team, and they're going to be called Minnesota United. So that's going to be another team in the Eastern Conference that's already called United. Unless they go to the Western Conference, then it's still silly.
Do they have an FC or an SC at the end of them? Does Minnesota?
Does Minnesota United have an FC at the end of it?
I think it's FC. I really do.
Oh my God.
I think.
I just want to drink bleach now.
I'll check.
Like, seriously, that's.
Matt?
I would love for an expansion team to come into Major League Baseball.
Yes, it is Minnesota United FC.
Jesus Christ. I'd love for an expansion team to come into Major League Baseball and just call themselves the Cubs. See what
Playing devil's advocate here just
the
for
Houston
a second.
The Houston Cubs.
Okay. I was about to.
Okay, playing devil's advocate here just for a second. 10 years ago in the Premier League, there was Manchester United, Leeds United, Newcastle United. How many other Uniteds are there?
Yeah, but
there are
English.
Several.
And they're actually
so
United.
Yeah, they're actually
that's
like
right. The name comes from somewhere. But I'm saying
United, two clubs United.
What I'm saying is
per se
having teams called United. It's not like having two Canadian football teams called the Rough Riders. It's different.
Hey, screw you, guy.
That's a good point.
This is
what I was going to say. Greg says
it's like
the
having
right
City
here.
On the end. Manchester City, Stoke City, there's all of these other
those words
teams.
Don't mean the same thing in America as they do in England.
Right.
Now,
not,
it doesn't
they're
make
not
Atlanta,
nicknames.
Yeah, right. It doesn't make Atlanta United FC not a stupid name.
Right.
But United, FC, Real, Sporting, these words don't mean the same thing in America as they do in Manchester.
Right.
Yeah. I'm as incensed
about it as you are, Matt. Just take it easy. Stop eating Barbasol.
Well, but it's tasty. We recommend the Massive Report not to eat Barbasol. Just use it to get a close, clean, comfortable shave. Thank you, Matt.
What you're saying is, you're angry about this for different. Well, you think this is stupid, and I agree with you for different reasons.
It's stupid for an American team to call themselves United,
right.
Unless two teams we're going to go out of business, and then they combine.
There is some sort of joint effort involved. The only exception that I can think of making is DC United being the capital of the United States. I can see where that comes from. It's kind of a play on words, kind of.
That's why I never really got angry at DC United, but it's still kind of
great. It's not great.
It's still a dumb game.
But it makes a lot more sense than Atlanta United or Minnesota United, unless there were. I don't know the history.
Having a team in.
I don't know the history of Minnesota.
Having a team in a former Confederate state calling themselves United. The Union. Draw your own conclusion.
Union
there.
Was already taken.
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you guys want? You have the Burn and the Clash and the Metro Stars, and you hate that because it's stupid.
Atlanta Burn would have been great. That,
I did not hate great. Any of those names.
Atlanta Burn would have been fantastic.
They already had the Flames. So.
Atlanta Armed
the thing
Racist
is,
Traders.
In the MLS echo chamber of social media, literally, people are going to be upset about whatever you pick. Your name could have just been Atlanta, and they would have been like, oh, these teams are taking out town. I mean, whatever
happens.
They could
have inherited Silverbacks, too, like the current USL or NASL or whatever.
If they would have absorbed the Silverbacks, then it would have been kind of United.
Or they could have called themselves the Peaches. Or, honestly, they could have called themselves the Atlanta Delta.
Well,
that would have been sweet.
That actually makes sense.
There was actually... I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, not just at the fact that they named him this, but back in the 70s, there was a version of the Atlanta Soccer Club that was, they were the Atlanta Braves, actually, and then they changed their name to the Chiefs. There was a moment where they changed their name to the Atlanta Apollos.
Yeah.
And I really liked that name.
I like that.
I mean, that's... I mean, there's probably a few reasons why they couldn't name them the Apollos. Maybe they would have to pay me. I don't know if that's owned or anything. But the Atlanta Apollo, like even Apollo Atlanta would have been a really cool name.
Hell yeah.
Or just Apollo FC or something like that. Or, you know, whatever. But I like the Atlanta Apollos. I think that's a really cool name. Atlanta United FC is, you know, it's worse than bad. It's just silly.
Yeah.
And like there was an article in the New York Times today, which is actually a pretty good article about why MLS teams are named the way that they are, and how, you know, at the beginning of the league, they really didn't know what to name them, so they had a lot of input from their sponsors and things like that, and they wanted, you know, there was the trend in the 90s to name things without, like, calling them, like, the Hawks or the Wildcats or whatever, so they tried to be, really super creative. And, there was an article, a moment mentioned in the article, and I can't remember the name of the... I can't remember who it was. It's silly that I can't remember who it was, but when they were trying to come up with a name for the DC team, and they didn't have any ideas at all, and they just threw out a name, well, DC United. And everybody around the conference room was like, whoa, that is perfect.
Yeah.
And I honestly, as much as we're supposed to hate DC United, I still think DC United is one of the coolest names. Mm-hmm. For a soccer, I like Los Angeles Galaxy. I like Columbus Crew. I like DC United. I think those are the three best names from those original 10,
in the context,
and they're still around.
There's in the context of it being the district, in the context of it being the capital of the country, it makes complete sense to call them DC United.
It sucks that now that they share their name with Atlanta and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mean the same thing in the United States as it does in England.
Yeah, exactly.
I dislike the FC more than I dislike the United. This has been my personal hobby horse for years now, that we have a sport in this country called football. Most people, especially in Atlanta, which is kind of football crazy, you know, SEC country.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Georgia Dome.
And they'll be playing at the Georgia Dome or whatever replaces the Georgia Dome that the Falcons will be moving into. There's a sport called football in the U.S. Most people call it football. You're never going to get them to call it anything else. Mm. Why? Why call it FC? It smacks of pretentiousness.
The other thing, and honestly, it kind of sucks that some of these teams, like FC Dallas... For example, the Dallas Burn was actually kind of a cool name, you know.
Well,
it was Poochie. it was Poochie the dog, completely in the 90s with logos and with all that sort of stuff. But if you just get down to brass tacks with just the name and remove any thoughts from your head about iconography or anything like that,
Do you know what I loved about the Burn, though?
What?
Was their logo.
Yeah.
Their logo was so ridiculous.
Horse-looking
all
thing.
All of them
it was
ridiculous.
No, it was a horse.
Breathing
fire.
Yes.
With light, with black lightning bolts for legs.
Think about it. Now try to come up with a more dangerous animal.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
There is no, like, that animal.
The Tampa
would
Bay
rule.
Mutiny's mascot.
No.
The bat.
No. No.
Yeah, the robot bat?
Yeah, that thing
the
was
robot.
Creepy.
Yeah.
If it had, does it have lasers for eyes?
Probably.
Probably.
You
it's
can't
a robot.
Say that. You can't
it's
say
a robot.
That. No, there's no proof
you,
of that.
You can't prove it wasn't.
I'm saying that the horse was breathing fire. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
and it
fair.
Had black lightning bolts for legs.
And the way it works is you have to offer proof that we're wrong.
Yes, that's how...
No, I'm sorry, Glenn Beck. I apologize.
Science.
I think maybe a bat might have robot laser eyes. Matt,
robot
that's a hypothesis. That's not
a robot
fact.
Bat called the Mutiny would have robot laser eyes.
Do you have
I'm
any idea
saying.
How ridiculous you sound right now?
Why that's would you show off ridiculous. All of your secret weapons before you're even going
yeah,
to
exactly.
battle?
Yeah, exactly. Seriously.
The Burn is just wasting all of its element of surprise. I don't know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, but...
Oh, God, I hate us.
Can
static.
We get back to what's important? Lightning bolt... Black lightning bolt legs.
But honestly, no, seriously. Would you rather have a team... And I would guess that they would have truncated it at this point and just have had a team called Metro or a team called Red Bull in the league.
I have a theory about this.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Red Bulls brand rebrand as New York Reds as Red Star New York. I think like if they were to do that,
yeah.
Why do you love communism?
Well, that's one aspect is like what the, okay. That,
it's
what
the
is
After
what,
Dark
wait
segment.
Wait Star
what
Trek
is happening?
Star Trek is communism. Mad Max is capitalism.
Have you
anyway,
no shame.
Continue.
Have you at last no shame? no, I think Red Star New York would be a great name because it's a combination of Red Bulls and Metro Stars.
Yeah,
that's a really
forward,
good idea.
Yeah. Saying embracing the past.
There's already
Red Star
a
New York.
There's already a Red Star team though in Belgrade.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And there's
yeah.
the Chicago
there's
Red Stars in the women's
Dynamo.
League.
Yeah.
There's also a Dynamo.
But it would be like
there's
Red.
A lot of Dynamos.
By the way, that was a good game yesterday.
The
New York and
New York.
New
York, New
York.
And what is
New York
the,
and
what
New
is
York.
That derby called?
The
Derby,
the New York Derby,
East River Derby, or something.
Hudson
by the way,
River.
Did you
Hudson
know that the MLS many, the how, MLS podcast has taken our Farby Derby thing from us?
I saw that you said that on Twitter.
They totally ripped it from.
I have a legitimate question now. When people say the word Derby, and again, my Amerisnob is coming out. Are they saying the word Derby just in an English accent as
being,
an American?
That's the way that it's pronounced in traditional English.
So it's like when people say Steven Gerrard and they say Gerard.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
pronouncing it how an English person would pronounce it, but in a crappy Midwestern American
except
accent.
Except for 200 years ago, the British people talked like us, and then they affected this new accent within the last 200 years. That's science.
Accents
look
can't
it up.
Melt steel beams.
Like in
Matt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like in British English, you park your car in the garage, not the garage. Uh-huh. You get it?
Yeah.
Garage.
Yeah, something like that. You get. Yeah.
I don't know what Ryan just
but
said.
When people
but
say,
I never do.
When people say
the
like
car hole.
You park your car in the car
you
hole.
You park
car
your hole. Car in the car hole.
The car hole. Car
I don't
hole
even know
just
what
happened.
That means. Yeah.
One quick thing for
it's
for
a
anybody.
Doctor Who thing.
One quick thing for anybody who doesn't follow me on social media is I pointed out yesterday, congratulations to the New York Red Bulls. It took you 19 years, but you finally won an MLS game in the state of New York.
Oh my god.
Wow. Sick burn, bro.
That is
in Australia,
weird.
That's actually very offensive.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so we should actually
Dude,
talk
that's
about.
Mind blowing to me right now.
Yeah. So we have. The crew actually play games this week, guys.
Two
I don't know if you know about that.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
First of all, horribly, horribly, horrible things that are going on in Orlando.
Crystal
meth being the biggest one.
The champagne of Central Florida.
But we got to play a game there, and it's going to happen tomorrow. And we're going to have the game on here at the bar, so if anybody wants to come join us, it'll be on with the women's game and with Copa America. Crew v. Orlando, guys. Thoughts. Start out with you, Morgan.
I have no idea, Matt. Who's playing? I saw that Pogatetz and Saeed are on the plane. It's good we're taking a plane this time.
Yeah.
Rachel Phelps has opened up the checkbook. But, I mean, I guess it depends on who plays, like, you know.
Yeah. No, we have no idea.
I mean,
we have no idea.
So my answer to your question is, how dare you?
Fair enough. Alex.
Two things. Number one, I want to correct myself a second time. It was Sakaguchi who scored the Japanese goal.
God, you racist.
I was wrong again.
Jeez.
Iwabuchi was the person who scored the goal against Greg's team. Uh-huh. Sorry, Greg.
Well, you Sakaguchi, don't you?
I'm sorry. I agree with Morgan. I think it depends on who plays. One player who I do want to see play is Roman Gall, who we have not seen much of this season, and who needs minutes. At this age, he needs to play. And so we either need to play him or we need to loan him to someone who will play him. But it's very important that he gets minutes, and I want him to have a spot in this team. I want him to have a future in Columbus. And in order for that to happen, he needs to play. And so, Greg Berhalter, please let him play the game.
All right. Justin.
I think that's an interesting suggestion. I don't disagree with that at all. One thing, though, is I'm curious as to, you know, like what you guys are talking about, who is going to play in this game. Are we going to go for this? Because this is an this is it.
Yeah.
Like, it sneaks up on us, right? But, you know, this is the tournament soccer and tournament sports in general. They are tests of what you are capable of being. And I want to see that this team is able to say, like, you know, we're going to throw everything, put all this crap aside, all the things that we've done aside, all the things that we've not been able to do, and go for a win against a very good team in a very hostile environment. I am not hopeful.
Do you
I got to say that. I think we're in trouble.
Two quick follow-ups on that before I ask Greg. A, do you think that Orlando is going to sell tickets for this game? Like, are they going to do as well as Seattle would or another team? And B, interesting point, the only other time the Crew have won on the road this entire season is in the Open Cup.
Is that true? Wow.
Well, yeah.
That is true.
They don't have a road league win.
They don't have a road league win. They've only beaten Richmond. That's it.
But we're undefeated so far on the road in the Open Cup. So.
Oh, dear God, Alex. Go stand in the corner.
Untied.
Puppies.
Please go beat yourself over the head with that pool cue until I tell you to do otherwise.
Rainbow.
Justin.
That is interesting. I mean, that's... Wow, that is true. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, like, we have... in the two matches that we've played against Orlando, if you think about, we played... We didn't play very well in the opening minutes of that Orlando game.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us a little while to get into the game. When we did, played very well. They lost their minds because that's what they do, because they're immature and rather disappointing as human beings. But
it's all true.
Yeah, but they you know, we ended up winning that going away. Go back to Orlando, had one of the worst calls that I can remember in recent memory against us, and still fought back and probably should have won our first road game of the year. Did everything we could, playing down a man for 70 minutes out of the game.
Yeah.
To win that game. So, yeah, that is true. We haven't won a road game other than in Richmond, but we came real close in Orlando.
We learned in Orlando's first round Open Cup game that regardless of whether Kaká is playing or if it's a league game, Orlando City is still given an absurd amount of penalty kicks by the referees.
Have we been given a penalty kick all year?
Nope.
And I asked Matt Bernhardt earlier in the year what the record was. No, we have not.
I don't think we have.
We have not.
I cannot remember.
Not.
I asked Bernhardt earlier in the year, and the record is sometime in July. So we are nearing the record.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
You want to hear something kind of weird?
It is really insane.
Yeah, it is. It is weird. But you want to hear something else that's kind of weird?
Sure do, Matt.
So the Crew played in Salt Lake on Saturday. Crew play in Orlando on tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Orlando has to fly to Salt Lake to play on Saturday.
Mm.
It's this kind of
Illuminati.
Strangers in the night
what
sort of.
If we get there and they're already on their way to Salt Lake,
and then we win.
What if we? Yes.
It's a forfeit. Yeah.
What if all three teams have been dead the whole time?
Doobie doo.
God, and we're all just the dream in the mind of a horse with lightning bolt legs. And
oh God! And it just pans out on a snow globe, and that snow globe is St. Elsewhere. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Damn it, Matt, spoilers.
And you wake up and the horse with the lightning bolts for legs was from the original Bob Newhart show the whole time.
Oh my god. How's Annie?
I see dead franchises.
The look on Alex's face right now is so blank.
How's Alex Annie? Has no idea what we're talking about. It's fantastic. It's
I wonderful. Was born in 1997.
88. Come on.
Close enough.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
That was a trick to get you to admit it.
Jesus.
How is 1988 worse than 1997?
It is because he exists. That's it. That's all I got. Last thing I'm going to talk about here real
1988
quick.
1988 was an Olympic year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you racist.
And a Winter Olympic year.
And a Winter Olympic
year. Summer and
Calgary.
Winter Olympics that year. Yep.
Yeah. Seoul.
Oh, I had to explain.
Who sold the soul?
Stop talking about the past. Ryan Gere is approaching.
Oh, God. No. Ryan Gere's approaching. No. Ryan, we're not talking about anything.
What
Go
do they
away.
Call, what do they call garages in...
I was skunking at a garage party for a ska concert. The Boston's that... Al Rosavia, 1980.
Last thing, the crew play the Metro Stars on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
There's going to be fireworks at this game, is what I've been told. So yes. That's a thing. Hooray for fireworks.
Yes.
Real quick, because Sam says that we're way over time and he hates us all and apparently has children or something he has to get home to. I don't know, something like that.
Sam has an awesome t-shirt, by the way, today.
He does. He's wearing a Ninja Turtles t-shirt. Yeah. How much did that cost you from homage, Sam?
Your soul. One entire soul.
It's a great t-shirt.
No, it is. It is. So, Greg.
Yes.
Score prediction for the... Well, score prediction for the Orlando game. Well, does anybody have anything they want to say about the New York game before we... Because I don't have anything. I don't have any questions.
I thought Orlando looked. Or, I'm sorry. I thought New York looked very good yesterday.
Yeah.
They, you know, rivalry game, all that stuff. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. They played very very well. Brandon Wright Phillips kind of arrived finally. And again, Sasha Kljestan, I think, is an all star.
Yeah.
And so they gave it to us the first time they came here. I mean, they showed us that they were a legit team. Kind of exposed us for being not such a legit team at the time. It's going to be a good measuring stick, depending on the result that we have tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, either we're going to be coming off of a terrific win, no matter how it is, or we're going to be coming off of a bitterly disappointing loss.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with that?
I think we're going to be more disappointed that we have to go to Orlando three times, no matter what, this season.
Yeah.
We haven't even played NYC yet.
No, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that alone would just get me to start a drug addiction.
Have
for
we
anybody.
Played Chicago yet?
No.
Nope.
We have
nope.
played Chicago.
Oh, we have. Okay.
On a Friday.
No, away. We have not played Chicago. We played New York City.
No, we've
no,
not.
No, we played New York Red Bulls. I'm
Welcome
sorry.
To the Columbus Crew Podcast. We have no idea what's happening.
A lot more massive than
we've
report.
We played New England
right
twice. I mean, we've actually done pretty well against New England.
Yeah.
I mean,
did very well against them on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The game we didn't talk about.
Yeah. Yeah,
we conceded a goal 30 something seconds in, and the rest of the game was a lot better.
There's a lot of shit to cover.
Yeah.
But New England isn't actually playing all that well either.
Yeah.
Right now. So I mean, it's
they've lost three straight now. Mm-hmm. All by the score of 2-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
We will use your tears as sustenance, New England. Back to you, Matt.
Do you know who's really good?
Who?
San Jose.
Yeah.
So Cuchu? I don't feel so good about getting beat by them.
Cuchu
to crew.
Steven Lenhart to crew SC. Have we mentioned that this
if
month?
If the greatest American blast. Hero came Jesus. Back, I would be super happy. I'm just saying.
That's
he'd be a great backup striker.
That's what happens when your Alex's age in 2008 is your childhood.
All right. So, end of this. score prediction for horrible swamp dwellers versus the crew. Start with you, Greg.
3-3 crew win on penalties.
Justin.
I like that prediction.
All right.
I'm
Alex.
Going with that prediction.
I have no idea because I don't know who's playing, but I'm going to say 1-0 crew.
Morgan.
2-0 Orlando.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dick. I'm going to say 2-1 in extra time.
Orlando.
But it goes 0-0 to the break, the crew figure out some stupid way to score two goals in the first extra time, and then Orlando makes it silly in the second one.
Imagine
sextra?
The possibility.
Really?
The sextra. Sextra time.
Let's imagine the possibility that there's a Seattle-Portland scenario happens here where multiple players are thrown out of this game.
Oh, God, that'd be hilarious.
So instead of a prediction of scores, I'm going to say that the crew actually end up with more players on the field than Orlando and win in extra time because we have a two-man advantage. Yeah, because Orlando can only field six.
When you say men on the field, do you mean like people running from the benches to fight other people? Does that count?
That could possibly.
The guy with the beer flag is going to be out there.
Columbus Cruisers FC, seven horses with lightning bolts for legs. Orlando meth addicts. I don't know, a lion looks dumb.
All right, second question for you guys before we wrap this thing up. We're going to go with Red Bull score. Greg, do it.
2-1 to the Red Bulls, unfortunately.
God,
I hope I'm
why?
Wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Cite your damn sources, Greg.
I predicted the same score line in the Seattle game. I said that we'd lose that one, and we won. So, magic bathroom nachos, whatever. I don't care.
All right. Justin,
what is he talking about, Morgan? With the magic
About the time
he's
that
gonna turn my mic off.
No, I'm talking about the time at the LA Galaxy game when I actually went to the concession stand, and the crew scored while I was getting nachos. And I tweeted, Magic Nachos now in play.
Can we
That's
name
not
the
story people want to hear.
This episode, Magic Nachos, bathroom, whatever.
Yo, can we name it Magic Nachos now in play?
Magic Nachos now in play.
Bathroom, whatever.
I like bathroom.
All right, bathroom, whatever.
Magic,
is good.
Magic bathroom, nachos, whatever.
Magic
bathroom,
nachos,
bathroom,
whatever.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Now in play.
All right.
Now in play.
Diarrhea now in play.
2-2.
You son of a bitch.
And then what happens?
That was my guess.
Well, it's not an open cup game.
I know. I was just trying to be funny. Go ahead, Morgan.
Get a point.
Columbus Cruisers FC Ball Kickers 2. New Jersey, New York Metro Stars. Energy drinks. Assists. 2.
Wow, copying my score. You guys see that?
Well, I'm gonna say 2-1 crew. I'm going to be the sunshine and freaking happiness brigade this show, you jerks.
Better talk to Yvonne about that.
I'm going to say we win 3-2.
You're going to say we win 3-2?
Yeah.
All right,
because
fair enough.
Because Greg picked 2-1.
Gucci to crew.
Well, Greg's a jerk and nobody likes him. Except
first
apparently...
Half of, the first half of that is true.
Apparently poops a lot. So, all right. This is the show. God.
The janitors don't
like
me.
That's what we just did.
Everyone else does.
I mean, seriously, that's all we did was this show. Thank you so much to everybody who was here tonight. Sam. Morgan. Who has a girl's name. Alex. Who also has a girl's name. Justin, who doesn't have a girl's name. Greg, who has kind of a weird girl's name. I mean, if you name your daughter that, I don't know what to tell you. My name is Matt. This has been the Massive Report. If you find yourself in a confusing situation, simply laugh knowingly and walk away.
I'm Alex. I was born in 1997.